Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you health renaissance people. Today, what is the agenda behind the 2020 pandemic or panic-demic or fear-demic, however you want to put it? Well, I mean, I got to tell you, I was walking through Whole Foods for the first time since they implemented the social distancing, which is completely not based in science. And so walking around with the yellow or red, blue tape on the floor, you know, you kind of wonder, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to follow it, line up? And so there's, you know, about 30 people in the store at the time. And it was driving me crazy. So I had to take pictures of it. Because not only is this fear-based and not based in science, it has nothing to do with immune systems or strengthening the immune system. It does induce fear and ignorance. And so I'm taking pictures of my wife's going, Johnny, honey, stop doing that. You're embarrassing people. And I said, no, a year from now, they won't remember how stupid this was. So I just had to share that with you. But just know that I've got an article 101 years ago, okay, or actually 102 years ago, Thursday, November 7, 1918, a public notice. Notice is hereby given that in the order to prevent the spread of Spanish influenza, all schools, private churches, theaters, movie picture halls, pool rooms, and other places of amusement and lodge meetings are to be closed until further notice. All public gatherings containing more than 10 people are prohibited. Yeah, so they tried that social distancing before. Didn't work out well. Okay, now I'm pretty much apolitical. I'm not a big fan of it. But when you see common sense and politics, that's right. I said common sense and politics in the same breath twice. Okay, so what we got to do is you got to look at Dr. Shiva. Now, MIT doctor, PhD. He's running for U.S. Senate. I'm not supporting him, but man, to see common sense, I don't see it that often. And sure enough, what he goes in, he details out a letter to President Donald Trump on how to get this solved within the first week, okay, and get America back to work. And one of the heads of the CDC, Anthony Fauci, he has a comment on this letter that Dr. Shiva wrote. Quote, and this is just a little part of the article. You can get it from Shiva, the number 4, Senate.com, and it's a letter to the president. Quote, the current trajectory of Dr. Anthony Fauci's public health policy will result in short-term and long-term destruction of our citizens' immune system, as well as our nation's economic health, for perhaps a conscious and intended goal. Dr. Fauci's policy at best is based on a 1950s outdated one-size-fits-all, non-personalized approach to medicine and public health. And at worst, it is derived from fake science, understanding of immune systems, and one which Dr. Fauci over 5 decades has perpetuated and exploited to build his career. Now, Dr. Shiva goes on to describing how best to approach it. Now, he's got a great idea. And when you look at the actual facts, you're talking 99.99% of everybody that gets it is fine. When you're talking about the people that develop symptoms, 85% that are exposed are fine. If you look at those that are exposed that actually catch it, 85% of them have little to no symptoms. So now we're looking at 15%. When we're looking at that 50%, it depends on the age category. But if you're talking 60 years old and under, a minute, you're talking 0.1% death rate. And if you're looking at over 60, you're looking at around 2-3% death rate. Even in the Diamond Princess. And this is an enclosed group of senior citizens panicked. Everybody got exposed. It had a death rate of less than 1%. So obviously the death rate percentage And Dr. Shiva's thing is to identify the susceptible group, the group in danger, not the, you know, 30-year-old healthy guy working out of the gym and tell him to don't go to his gym because he's going to spread this disease. That's psychotic and not based in science. But now we've got a plan to isolate, to be given 400,000 units of vitamin A per day for 2 days, 50,000 units of vitamin D3 per day for 2 days. And even the group that has no positive COVID test and they're healthy, he talks about giving them supplements to keep them healthy and to get them back on the job. Dr. Shiva, common sense in politics. You're not going to see that. So what's the agenda behind the psychosis? If we have one politician at least that has common sense to isolate those that are at risk, not everybody, okay? Let's look at the Sustainable Development Goals by the World Health Institute. They have a project called it's 2021 to 2030 innovation. And they have, it's called 2030, quote, a world where everyone, everywhere, at every age, fully benefits from vaccines and good health and well-being. Sounds good as long as it's, you know, as long as you can choose, as long as it's not forced. But then let's look at it. They have 17 sustained development goals. Vaccination is involved in 14 of the 17. That's right. Now, we know that the panic, okay, what people are doing in Hubei and, you know, around the world, they're spraying people with disinfectant. They're spraying this. Now, okay, not only are disinfectants ridiculous, because it's going to create stronger and stronger. We're not to fight a virus is a foolish approach. To fight an infection, other than strengthening the immune system, it's a foolish approach. An example I can give you is hospitals. Hospitals spend a huge amount of time disinfecting each room, disinfecting the cloths, disinfecting the patients. And what happens there? 99,000 Americans die every year from hospital-acquired infections. A new thought process of thinking about that we're supposed to be here, then instead of fighting the germs to strengthen the immune system like Dr. Shiva, that makes sense. We can look at the reality. Cola.com, hospitals say stay is 10 times more likely to kill you than a motor vehicle crash. Yeah, that's true. So where is this fear coming from? Well, number one, fear is used to control the population. When you look at the vaccination rhetoric and the protest going on and the loss of rights, that's right. See, under fear, people will willingly give up their rights. Now that we have the coronavirus, people are panicked about their neighbors. So now you've created a great environment of fear where neighbor will turn a neighbor, and you're eventually going to be forced to show your vaccination schedule to get driver's license, anything else. And you might say, no, that's impossible. Well, let's look at the recommended adult immunization schedule according to the CDC. And there's 13 different vaccines that you should get. Now, remember, if bodily integrity or bodily autonomy, where you can make decisions for yourself, that you actually feel that you have self-ownership and self-determination over what happens to your own body, do you realize that that will be illegal in a couple of years? That's right. You will not have the right to choose what's done to your body. That means every vaccination, everywhere, all the time. Okay, and it sounds crazy. But a couple of months ago when I said, look, start getting canned food and start getting water and realize it's not a virus, it's meant for control, you might have thought that was crazy as well. Now, why is this important? Well, let's go way back to 2012. This is when a lot of this started. And they had the Pandemic All Hazards Preparedness Act. And this is part of a project called the BioShield Act. Now, what does this law do that was passed in 2012? Well, it shields any company producing anything for a pandemic liability. So this is when, if they can maintain the panic until the vaccine comes out for this, and they can pass laws to where you have to get it mandatory, and this is everybody, every time, everywhere, without any long-term trials. Now remember, just a few months ago, we're looking at a sickening of the population, a massive rise in autism. We talk about the autistic tsunami, where we'll have a 1 in 2 or 1 in 3 rate of this in our children, how it's wiping, it's literally going to financially disrupt country. And now we don't need to worry about that, because this, the response to the COVID, not the virus itself, the response that the governments have taken to wipe out this virus is wiping out the economy. Now, what are you not hearing? What are you not hearing? You're not hearing about the massive rise in suicides because of loss of business, loss of revenue, anxiety and stress, the massive rise in heart attacks and disease, bowel disorders, all from the chronic stress that this is creating. Why aren't you hearing it? Have you heard of the man on the street interviews? No, none of that's being done. You could put a reporter in a hazmat suit and he could talk to regular humans, but you're not hearing any of this because it doesn't go along with the narrative. And think way back to December 2019. Now, I know that was 4 months ago, and it's hard to think back that far. But let's just try and go back to the global health state, the global vaccine safety conference, and we have Dr. Swaminathan, the head chief scientist of the World Health Organization. What did she say? I think we cannot overemphasize the fact that we really don't have very good safety monitoring systems in many countries. It adds to miscommunication and misapprehension because we're not able to give clear-cut answers when people ask questions about deaths that have occurred due to particular vaccines. And this always gets blown up in the media. So then we have from Professor Heidi Larson at the same conference. And she is director of the Vaccine Confidence Project. She's saying the other thing is a trend, not an issue, is the not just the confidence in providers, but the confidence of healthcare providers. We have a wobbly health professional frontline that's starting to question vaccines and vaccine safety. She goes on to state, and remember, this was December, just 4 months ago. Quote, we are in a unique position of human history where we've shifted the human population to a vaccine-induced dependency on vaccine-induced immunity. We are in a very fragile state now as we have developed a world that is dependent on vaccinations. We don't have a choice but to make that effort. You might, if you can remember way back to 2014 and 15, the measles, I was thinking at the time, it's only measles. We used to have measles parties. So let's go over what that did. Well, for one, it wiped out any personal beliefs, religious exemptions, and medical exemptions. That's right. In California, there the medical doctors would have to, if they write an exemption for any vaccine, they have to... if they write more than five, they're brought up before their board because they're negatively affecting the health of their community. Now, the entire one, now remember, we have 327 million people in America. There were 131 cases. Nobody died. 48 of the cases were adults. 20 of those adults were reportedly vaccinated. Most of the adults were unsure. They don't remember. Okay, and of this, 25 of the 131 were fully vaccinated. So that's about a 31% vaccine failure. So that was not in the news. You didn't have two-thirds of the people weren't vaccinated, one-third of the people were vaccinated, and the third that was vaccinated had vaccine failures. Do you know what I mean? That wasn't in the news, was it? So when we look at this panic, what is the agenda? We go back to the article by Lancet, and they said it's going to rise and peak and then fall, just the way every virus ever does when it goes through a population, that rise and fall, always. Now, So why are the politicians silent about the financial catastrophe? What is going on here? Is it just to have people give up their rights and their freedoms? Why is there no political leadership except for Dr. Shiva? Maybe you know of some other politician out there that's got common sense, but I'm blown away because you don't see it. But think of it. They're forcing compliance, eliminating informed consent. Now, when we look at the current narrative in the news, picture, they're just leaning what the media is going to present to them. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't heard about the power outages in Beverly Hills and Brentwood, that's right, there have been several power outages up there. And, you know, you could just, the excuse is that there's so many people at home using their electricity. I doubt that, because in the summertime, those houses are frigid like ice boxes, and air conditionings use a heck of a lot more refrigeration than a laptop. So expect in the next couple of weeks to have blackouts of power and blackouts of internet to interrupt alternative thought processes like what you're experiencing here. But when you go to healthdata.org, type in Italy crude death rate, you'll see a massive rise from 2006 going up. When you look at CorinWellness.com, and brilliant, brilliant research article. I got to tell you, Ted Corin, brilliant, brilliant doc. He's actually a really good chiropractor, too. He put that mortality, and they did statistics from years of 2014 to 2017. During that period, deaths increased, 68,000 deaths attributed to flu, higher than any other European countries. So why would Italy have had higher death rates than any other European country, just like this flu as well? Is it because it's a special flu? No, because it's a weakened population. You're talking high drug rates, okay, high drug use, okay, because they're a modern country. They've got super high pollution and high debt rates. So this means that the economy was really poor as well. We also know from the CorinWellness.com site that the flu shot, and this was brilliant, it was out of the Journal of Vaccine, January 10th, 2020, and the title of the article was Influenza Vaccination and Respiratory Virus Interference Among Department of Defense Personnel During the 2017-2018 Influenza Season. Yes, folks, that is the title of the article. And what they did is they said a study shows that military personnel who received the flu vaccine were 36% increased risk for coronavirus. Isn't that interesting? The study population consisted of population history being heavily vaccinated. So is this why it's going to be running through Americas? Because we force our seniors to get vaccinated, even though that the flu shot has typical 0% effectiveness if you're over 60? And so thank goodness, you know what that means? That means in 2 days, baby, I'm over 60. Yeah. Okay, so that means it ain't going to work on me. It ain't going to work at all. I better hurry up and get one before I turn 60. Okay, so then we look at the United States death rate. That's right. In America, on average, 7,700 people die every day. And these are people that die every day. They were going to die from, you know, gunshots, falling off of bridges, drug overdose, anxiety, stress, depression, illness, you know, old age, hit by a truck, whatever. 7,700 people die every day. And you're looking that this is normal. What we're looking at is excess deaths. And this is not making the news. So let's look at experts from around the world. I encourage you to go to globalresearch.ca and type in 12 experts questioning coronavirus panic. First one that we're going to quote is Dieter Raoult. coat, actually, from all respiratory infections, it's probably the easiest to treat. So there's no reason to get excited anymore. There really is no reason to get excited to rush to produce a vaccine. Now, he is one of the head of virologists of France. If we go to Germany, look at Sukrit Bhakti, a microbiologist, former professor at Johannes Gutenberg University in Mainz. I mean, this guy is a genius. And quote, we are afraid that 1 million infections with the new virus will lead to 30 deaths per day over the next 100 days. But we do not realize that 20, 30, 40, or even 100 patients positive for normal coronaviruses are dying every day. The government's anti-COVID-19 measures are grotesque and absurd and very dangerous. The life expectancy of millions is being shortened. The horrifying impact on the world economy is the existence of countless people. The consequences on medical care are profound. Already services to patients are in need are reduced. Operations are canceled. Practices are emptied. Hospital personnel are dwindling. All this will impact our society profoundly. All these measures are leading to self-destruction and collective suicide based on nothing but a spook. Okay, let's look at Professor Pietro Venza, chief physician of infectious disease at St. Gallen Cantonal Hospital. Quote, based on the new insight, we also have to understand that many of the measures that we have implemented so massively today may be counterproductive. Let's look at Frank Montgomery, the president of the German Medical Association. Quote, Italy has imposed a lockdown that is quickly the opposite effect. They quickly reached their capacity limits but did not slow down the virus spread within the lockdown. A lockdown is a measure of political despair because coercive measures mean that you can go no further than the generation of reason. Ooh, God, I like that guy. Okay. Then we have John Landis, member of the National Academy of Medicine. Patients who have been tested for SARS-CoV-2 are disproportionate. Those with severe symptoms and bad outcomes, as most healthcare systems have limited testing capacity. Based on selection bias, this may be even worse. Based on selection bias, may even worsen in the near future. One situation where the entire population, closed population, was tested in the Diamond Princess, its quarantine passengers, the case fatality rate there was 1%, but this is largely an elderly population in which the death rate for COVID would appear to be much higher. So we say, look, you got a senior population enclosed in a ship, and you could only generate 1%. Dr. Joel Kettner, professor of community health science and surgery at Manitoba University. I have never seen anything like this, anything anywhere near like this. And I'm not talking about the pandemic because I've seen 30 of them every year. It's called influenza and other respiratory illnesses. Viruses don't always know what they are, but I've never seen a reaction like this. I'm trying to understand why. We have a choice here. We have a chance. If you look at case fatality rate, and this is by Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, they're saying that as long as you have no comorbid condition, okay, you have literally 99.9% chance of not having an issue with this on the regular public. It seems impossible. But if you have a comorbid condition, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory disease, hypertension, cancer, okay, you were talking that is 99.9% of every people that is the person that has ever died from this. And they're typically over 60. So we have to change how we view this. I mean, it is designed to crash the economy and change the world. It's time that we do not conform. We do not conform. And this is one of the toughest things ever because they are passing out jail sentences and fines for people that do not conform to the shelter at home. Even though it's not based in science, it's based in fear. They are also going to pass out laws that you do not conform to forced medication or forced vaccination. I just read an article that they're attacking the Amish now for their religious freedom. And then you're talking 400 years they've been free to practice bodily autonomy. When we look at in the past, Christine Benn, researcher, medical doctor that's been doing vaccines in developing nations for 30 years, she said, look, we're having a real hard time to get the world to listen. Vaccines have non-specific effects. And they say vaccines are not assessed for their overall effects on overall health. They're only assessed for their protection. Already know that if you got the flu shot, you're more predisposed to get the coronavirus. We know that Dr. Richard Horton, current editor-in-chief of The Lancet, said a lot of published research is in fact unreliable at best, if not completely false. We are at the crux of a change in belief system. This is huge that you own this. When we look, what's the cause? Is it genetics? Is it virus, fungus, bacteria, chemical imbalance? Are you not getting enough medication? Is it a random malfunction, bad luck, bad genes? What do you believe? Do you believe that viruses and bacteria are attacking you? Are you that paranoid that you're that weak that maybe you have a belief in a higher power that maybe God built you, but he screwed up on your immune system? What is this coming from? Let me tell you, I look at the greatest immunologist on the planet, and they have no idea how immune systems are working. Absolutely. We do know that if you have a plant-based diet, that you increase your plants, that this can help with cancer, hardening the arteries, heart attacks, diabetes, allergies, asthma. And this is because the fruits and vegetables have a certain immune system properties to them. I mean, it's amazing that these fruits and vegetables, if you just consume them, they strengthen your immune system. So the hidden agenda is to keep you scared so that you give up your bodily autonomy and that you submit to every government program. And if your neighbor isn't doing it, you turn in the neighbor. And because why? Because that selfish neighbor is not submitting to get the vaccine, which is going to protect your entire community. If he gets a negative response, it's for the greater good. It's for the greater good. Turn in your neighbor. How dare he not wear a mask or gloves? Does he not care? Or is he functioning off a different aspect of science? Our belief systems are formed when we were younger. Belief systems are formed around parents, teachers, friends. To change a belief system, you have to build up new evidence. Okay, now building new evidence means you have to look at something other than the mainstream media. This changes your perception, and over time you change your belief system. Really, you can do this. So what if you want to live like there's an innate inborn intelligence in the body, that health is the natural state of the body. There's no fear of disease. And all therapies that are done with the body should be in harmony with functions of the body. So you don't take a drug to reduce a fever. You take a vitamin or supplement to help the immune system respond. Imagine if vaccinations had a liability on them, that they weren't liability free. What if vaccinations had a choice on it? Oh my God, how brilliant would that be? What if all healthcare research was independent? And what if all humans on the planet could choose any of the healthcare procedures that they choose, that they could take vitamins, or they could take a vaccine, or they could take an prophylactic antibiotic, or they could take healthy bacteria? What if we had that choice? The choice is up to you. We can comply or not comply with this foolishness. This is Dr. John Bergman. God bless you. I love you.